There's a couple things I want to mention. It's Christmas time. Do you have anybody realize that? I'm just thought I'd throw that out there to you. Just be aware of everything that's going on in our bulletin inserts. There is an offering basket on their table in the back. There is also, you can just mark your check and put it in the offering as it's passed around a little bit later. All that. But it's Christmas time. And the one thing that we here at the Morningside Church of Christ like to talk about is Jesus. We like to talk about the birth of Jesus. And that's what Christmas is to us. It's the birth of our Savior. And for the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about Jesus. The kids next week are going to come. They're going to sing some songs, some oldies, some funny ones. They're going to talk about Scripture. And they're going to present some Scriptures that they have been studying over the last few weeks. And they're going to tell you all those. And they're going to invite you to sing. And they're going to invite you to learn. And Christmas is awesome. And the one thing that I've realized over the last, well, geez, just this week, really, is our world doesn't understand what Christmas is. It really doesn't understand the Bible. I went and I saw the movie Exodus, and it was horrible. They pretty much got the names right, but after that, I don't know where the story goes. But, I mean, like Noah, you saw that, that was crazy too. But at least the graphics were okay, you know what I mean? This was just horrible. I mean, I couldn't figure out what was going on half the time. A pastor friend of mine went with me, and we're just looking. We're like the two old guys from the Muppets. We're looking at each other, making fun of it. Just, it was ridiculous. So don't waste your money on that one, but yeah, it didn't even make any sense. They got the name right, like I said. And the theater was nice, I suppose. But besides that, it was bad. But Christmas, the birth of Jesus. And I think one of the reasons that people don't understand this more is because we kind of fall down in our task. And I say we, that includes all of us, in the idea of sharing the gospel. We don't share Jesus like we should. We may slightly hint at it or imply to it. But when was the last time you sat down with someone who didn't know Jesus and explained the gospel to them? That's a big difference. Well, Kelly, I understand what you're saying, but I'm not qualified. I can't do that. Well, I disagree with you this morning. The Bible shows us that God is looking for people. People like you and me. And as we come to Christmas, there's one person I want to talk about that wasn't anything special that God chose to use. And that's Jesus' mother, Mary. I just kind of want to talk about her a little bit and kind of compare her to us in a way. But I want to kind of ask you, what kind of people does God use to build his kingdom? You know? And as you think about that question today, I want you to think about Mary. Because God used Mary for a special purpose. Almost an extraordinary purpose. He brought his son into the world, the God-man, if you will. Jesus, 100% God, became 100% human. You read the book of Philippians in the second chapter, it says he gave up his divine qualities. Why? To enter into human history. Why? As the greatest missionary. To bring us back to God. The ministry of reconciliation, which he also calls us to. It's interesting to note that there wasn't really anything special about Mary. Not once in the Bible does it say that we are to worship her. It does not say that she was perfect. It doesn't say that she was sinless. She was a normal person. So why did God choose her? Because, well, was it because of her education? I don't think so. I don't think she had any. Was it because of her wealth? No, she was poor. Was it because she was mature? No, she was a teenager. The reason that God chose Mary was because Mary trusted God. Mary had faith in God. She was ordinary like you and me. God chose a plain, ordinary peasant girl to become the mother of his child. Even though she was ordinary, God was going to do something extraordinary. I've said that a couple times now. God uses, if you will, the weak things of the world, like us, to do his will. To make the strong things, to make the smart things look foolish in the world's eyes. So I just want to, read Mary's account of when she, when the angel showed up to her. It's interesting to me. It makes me laugh sometimes because I don't know what I would do, if I was Mary or if I was Joseph even. But let's go ahead and turn to Luke 1, 26 through 38. I'm going to read that and then we'll pray. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Okay, are you picturing that in your mind? An angel shows up. Okay, just making sure you're with me. But verse 29, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord." Let me say that again. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. If you're taking notes today, which I hope you are, we're going to get into our points, starting with point one here, but let me pray first. Father, I just thank you for the challenges that you give us when you call us to ministry. When you call us to your service, Father, which is every one of us, you first called us to new life, and you gave us new life through your Son by the cross and by his blood shed on the cross, Father. When we accept that and when we understand that, Father, we understand that there is a new purpose and a new plan that you have called us to. It is that ministry of reconciliation that Paul talks about, where we're supposed to call those who don't know you into a relationship with you, call them into repentance, Father. I ask you today to use us to follow the example of Mary, to answer your calling by saying, "I am your servant and I will follow you and I will do what you said because it is your word." Father, I just thank you for the faith of Mary that can be our example, and give us that faith today. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Number one, God uses people who desire to do his will. We've been talking about this in our Wednesday Night Live program, that God has a plan for us. And when you think of that idea, you hear a memory verse maybe pop to your mind, Jeremiah 29:11. You know, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not for disaster. Plans to give you a hope and a future." You know, God has a plan for your life. Each one of you, no matter your age, God has a plan for you. And I want to say something to you today. And if you don't hear anything else, hear this. Write this down. Don't waste it. Don't waste your life. Don't waste the plan that God has for you. Just embracing that plan will change your life forever. You thought becoming a new creation in Christ was great. Wait till he's given you your purpose. It will change you even more. I say today that there needs to be a response to that. You have to respond to that calling on your life. And not just that you have to, you will respond to it. You will respond by following the will of God for your life, or you won't. Think about that for a second. There is no middle of the road. I think I said that last week. There is no middle of the road. You're all in or you're not in at all. Try to imagine how Mary must have felt when the angel appeared to her and said, Mary, God's going to come to earth and show the world what he's like, and you're going to be a part of it. So imagine that for a second. I'm pretty sure Mary did not say, I don't think that's a good career choice. I don't think Mary said, can you get somebody else? I don't think Mary said, but God, I got goals and dreams and cars and campers and desires and, oh, fill in the blank. What was her answer? I'm your servant. You know the rest of the story. What'd she have to do next? Go and talk to Joseph? Explain how she's still a virgin but pregnant? But that was a fun conversation. Mary desired to do God's will. Luke 1, 46 through 49. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Holy is his name. She knew that what was going to happen through her was all of God. And she desired to have it. Do you want to be used by God? Or do you want to do as little as possible to get by? To me, that means you want to consume Jesus. I kind of mentioned this before, but it's the idea is, I'll come to church, but before I come to your church, I'm going to have this checklist of things. We need to have good youth ministry. We need to have good children's ministry. The preacher's got to do this and that and this, and then all this stuff. And it's okay to have expectations. But the only real expectations that matter is the Word of God preached? Are the sacraments handled correctly? Is there a call to go out and serve the world? Because you can get in your head the idea that I'll come to church, I'll go through the rituals, I'll be very religious, but you might do that and you might just miss the point. A lot like our world misses the point of Christmas, the birth of our Savior, who's going to live for 33 years and die in our place. And by his blood, we are healed. We are set free. By his resurrection, we have new life. Church, we know the whole story. We have it. Birth to death to resurrection to ascension to, you know what the best part of the story is? The return. Don't miss the point. Don't be like the Pharisees, who they knew the law. They could recite the law. They could read it forwards and backwards and tell you the law, but they didn't know what the law pointed to. The law pointed to who? The law pointed to Jesus. It all pointed to the birth. It all pointed to Christmas. We must desire to do God's will. David said that. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your Lord is within my heart. That's your law is within my heart. That's Psalms 40, verse 8. How about Paul, the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 5, 9? So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Do you desire to do God's will? If you do, you're going to start by trying to figure out what that will is, like Dwayne was talking about, as read the Bible, go to church, understand God's going to lead you down a path. And that path, you might become a pastor. I tell you, sitting as a junior in high school, I never thought I'd be sitting here in Sioux City preaching the gospel. I had other plans for my life. Now you're stuck with me. You know, it's one of those weird things. When you say yes, your life begins an adventure. You know, your life begins an adventure. So if you desire to do God's will, you have to know what God's will is. And where do you find that out? Hint, hint. Your scripture. I could walk into your house and tell if you desire to do God's will by the condition of your Bible. Because you're not going to know what God's will is for your life unless you're into scripture, unless you're understanding. Luke 2:19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. It was on her mind. The words that the angel had said to her. I bet it weighed on her mind. I mean, I just couldn't imagine that. A teenager, engaged, finds out from an angel that she is going to be pregnant and that baby is going to be God. Imagine trying to explain that to somebody. You know, I was telling my friend about the story of the Exodus. And we were watching the movie, and I go, why would you have to change that? It is such a fantastic story. It has every component. So does the birth of Jesus. We have our hero coming from heaven to save us. That's what Jesus is. He's our hero. Who does something that every other hero doesn't do. He dies for us. Humbly. What does Mary do? Mary treasures these words of God. These words from the angel in her heart. Which kind of tells me that she probably had a habit of listening to scripture. Listening to stories. You know? Trying to understand. She was probably a good Jewish girl. What do you desire most? What things do you treasure? Maybe you want to get married. Maybe you want to live well, have a good job. Maybe you want to have a better marriage. Maybe you want to be financially independent. Maybe some of the kids in here, if you're taking notes, maybe you want to have a car. As you get a little bit older in life, maybe you want to retire. Maybe you want to enjoy the easy life, the American dream. My notes are sticking together. I want to say that these aren't the ultimate purpose for your life. Are any of those things wrong? I'm not saying that. I think they could be abused and they could be turned into an idol. But they're not the ultimate purpose that God has for you. Their desires, their goals, they're okay. We got to focus on God in all of those areas. In your retirement, is your focus the cross? In your careers, is your focus the cross? In your schooling, is your focus the cross? In your hobbies, in your leisure time. Kelly, I need a break. We don't get a break. We're Christians 100% of the time. You know, 26 hours a day, right? 8 days a week? You know? Sorry, I quoted the Beatles in church. It's all right. How is God going to use your marriage for his purpose? How is God going to use your money, which is really his money anyway, right? What's his plan for you when you retire? What's God's purpose for your life? Which tells me something. Number two today, God uses people who decide to pay the cost. It's talked about. You have to count the cost. Do we ever talk about paying the cost? Well, becoming a Christian is not difficult. Living out your responsibility as a Christian is. There's a price to be paid for your commitment to Christ. The closer you get to God, the more in tune you are going to be to His will, the more in step you are going to be with His Spirit, the more closer to His holiness you're going to be. And it will cost you more than anything that you ever had. You will begin to take more risk in your life. Kelly, you're not convincing me very well. I'm telling you the truth. It will require faith to step into the unknown. You need to really put your life into God's hands. So many times, we come to God and say, "Whoo! What a journey." But your life really doesn't begin until you come out of the waters of baptism. And your eyes are awakened to what's going on, to the spiritual battle. Yeah, we're going to make mistakes along the way, but we have a God that walks along with us. And that promise happened when? At Christmas. Even before that, Jesus was not an afterthought of God to save His rebellious people. It was a plan God had before the world, before the foundation. And He asks us to put our lives into His hand. Mary decided to take the risk. Verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel left her. What did it cost Mary? It cost her her reputation. How often are we so concerned how the world sees us that we sacrifice the way God sees us? She was a virgin, pregnant, engaged. I couldn't imagine being a teenage girl. Now there's still even a stigma. Single, I'm pregnant. Okay, Mary. And then she tags on to the end, and the baby's going to be God. Guys, just a second here. Focus in. What if your fiance came to you and said, "I'm pregnant, you're not the father, and that baby's going to be God"? Mary paid the price. There was fear of rejection, fear of criticism, fear of life. She could have died. But do you have the courage to say to God, "Do what you want me to do"? It's interesting that when you say that, sometimes people try to talk you out of it. I remember when I made the decision to become a pastor, people looked at me and go, "There's not much money in that." Remember my school psychologist. "Are you sure you want to do that? You want to go where? There's not much of a retirement plan in that." People will try to talk you out of it. They'll ask you questions even beyond becoming a pastor. They're going to ask you questions. "Why do you give so much to the church? Why do you give so much of your money to the church? Why do you give so much time to the church? Why are you always buying prizes for the kids at church? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Why do you go to church and miss the beginning of football games? I don't understand that. Why do you spend so much time doing church stuff with church people?" It's funny because our small group that meets at the Yule's house, they have a neighbor across the street that on Monday nights has a Dancing with the Stars party. And Todd was talking to him, and they thought we were having a Dancing with the Stars party. And I think Todd got to explain to him, "No, we're doing our small group." Yeah, I don't think I'd go to a Dancing with the Stars. But it's not my thing. Instead of panicking about the unknown, about her fears, Mary praised God and Mary worshiped God. Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men will be possible with God." What is impossible with men will be possible with God. Sometimes we're just going to look at God and we're going to go, "What?" And you know, you think about stuff like that. You think about all the heroes of faith. Think about Noah. Build a what? Moses. Talking to a burning bush. You want me to do what? I killed somebody. I can't go back there. You know? Go out and do what to a giant? I'm going to go into a furnace? I might be put into a lion's den? Huh? I guess if you look at those stories, when God says, "You know what? Your coworker needs to feel the love of Jesus," it doesn't seem that big, does it? God can use the weak of this world to bring Him glory. What that tells me? God can use us. The weak, the broken, the imperfected, the church, to bring Him glory. He can use us. What can God do with a congregation if we step out in faith? Why not? Let's start this Christmas. Step out in faith and realize that nothing is impossible with God. What would God do with a congregation like that? Big things. Big things. So let me ask you, are you willing to live your life like Mary? To step out in faith, to count the cost, to pay the cost, and say, "God, here I am. Use me. I'm your servant." And another way you can look at this is, you know, Jesus gave us everything. It all started at Christmas. You know, how many of you guys have Christmas presents left to buy? How many of you guys have thought about that even? "Oh, I better hurry up," you know? Have you thought about, while you're doing that, what could you do for Jesus? What could you give Him? Maybe you're at that point in your life where you need to give your life to Christ. He's calling. He's saying, "Come." The world doesn't understand Christmas. Doesn't understand youth groups, Bible studies, Sunday school, congregational meetings. Doesn't understand budgets that we have, doesn't understand the way we talk, the outreaches we throw. We need to start this Christmas by letting them know it's all about God's love. From the birth, to the death, to the resurrection, to the ascension, to the return. Today, maybe our simple response needs to be, "God, here I am, use me. I'm your servant. I'll follow what your word says. Increase it in my life." Where are you at today? It's Christmas. A few short days away. Know what Christmas is about. It's about the first few letters of that word. It's about Christ. Follow Him. All the way. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You, Lord, for today. And I just ask You just to rain down Your mercy and Your grace upon us. Reveal in us, Father, what we need to know more about You. Father, allow us to have the courage to ask the questions to ourselves. Father, do I want to know Your will? Father, Do I want to follow? Am I willing? Father, let us ask those questions and let us answer with a yes. That we may follow you, that we may know you more, and that we may serve you better. Father, our life is now given to you. Father, this church is now about you and what happened on that Christmas morning in a stable, in a manger, where your Son entered the world to save us. Father, is anybody here today that needs to make a decision for you? Father, I just ask you right now just to give them courage to come forward. Give them courage to set up an appointment. To give them courage to change their life, repent of their sins, Father, and come to you. Father, we hear your call. We hear your call every day. And we hear it even more at Christmas when we see your light and we realize everything else is just really dark. Thank you for being the light of the world. Father, thank you for calling us ordinary, weak people to be your servants. Use us today. It's in your name I pray. Amen.